You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Nearly a third of the people living in the U.S. believe that they actually have a food allergy. And according to a recent study published in the Journal of American Medical Association, five children and 4% of the teens and adults actually have a true food allergy. So we may think that we've got something going on, but it's really not a true food allergy. And today we have Dr. Stefan Wangen, founder of IBS Treatment Center, located in Seattle and Los Angeles, is here to help us understand the difference between a real food allergy versus a food sensitivity and possibly even a food intolerance and why it's so important to know the difference. Welcome, Dr. Wangen. So happy that you're here. Can you please tell us the difference between an allergy, a sensitivity, and an intolerance to food?
Hi, Dr. Suzanne. Yeah, sure. I would be very happy to. This is one of my very favorite topics because there's such a huge discrepancy, as you pointed out, in this understanding of these terms. And that's really where the confusion lies, because there's truth to both sides to the story. And the challenge is that people are using these words very differently. So when you hear the medical system talk about a food allergy, they have a very, very narrow view of what a food allergy is. And that is simply, if you have an anaphylactic reaction to a food, which is when your tongue, throat swells up and you have trouble breathing, that's a food allergy from their perspective. And also, if you get some other visual obvious manifestation, like if you get hives to a food, then of course they'll call that a food allergy. And if you get eczema, then they will call that a food allergy. And they might call, there'll be asthma that's triggered by a food, and that'll be a food allergy. And when you think of an allergist, so the traditional allergy doctor, that's all they're looking for are these very few symptoms. And if they see those symptoms in conjunction with a positive food allergy test, the kind of testing that they do, then you'll get diagnosed as having a food allergy. So when you read that only this very small percentage of people and kids have food allergy, that's what they mean. Now, when you read that people, like a third of the population, maybe thinks that they have a food allergy, what that means is that they feel there's a reaction to a food that's not one of those things, but that's something else. And so, for example, in my world, in the IBS world, people have all kinds of different food reactions, and these really still are immune reactions. So in the technical sense, they're allergies, but not in the sense of the way the medical system's framing the word. They're just calling certain symptoms allergies. They're not basing it on the mechanism that's underlying that reaction. And we'd think that they would all be the same. They'd all be, they're all immune reactions, and therefore they all be called the same thing. But it's very confusing, even to doctors, because they're not trained to really understand these words in this language. They're just using it based on the way it's always been used.
Right. And I totally get that. You know what? A lot of us are thinking, you know what? An allergy is basically your body is reacting to a substance, however it is. And there are situations, Dr. Wangen, where delayed food sensitivities are there to delayed food allergies, meaning it may not be right away with the eczema or the hive or the itchy runny nose or a swelling in the throat, but it comes later. So how, I know it's pretty much a semantic thing, isn't it?
It is. And you're right. They can be very delayed. I mean, these reactions to foods can take days or weeks or months, or really, when you think about it, they can take years. Because if you've got, let's say you've got a reaction to gluten, but you didn't notice it, when you were 10 or 20 or sometimes even longer, 30, 40, 50. And then finally you get these certain symptoms and you say, I didn't used to have these symptoms. And now you've got them. And it's not as if the immune reaction wasn't always there, but it just took a long time for that problem to build up to a point that you had, it just wore you down. It finally, you had this full-blown reaction. You said, oh my gosh, I have terrible now diarrhea, or I have terrible joint pain, or whatever it is that's tied into this food. And it's still really technically an allergy, but in the gluten world, we don't use that word, do we? We use the word intolerance. and we call it a gluten intolerance. But it really is an allergy, and so you have people arguing all the time, well, it's not an allergy because of this and that, and it's an intolerance, or it's a sensitive. Well, it's just semantics. They're really still very similar issues.
Right, right. It's so important that, though, I believe everyone should get their food tested, meaning like they should know what their body really loves and what their body really doesn't do well with. And especially intolerances, people don't understand what that really means. And I, in my book, The 7-Day Allergy Makeover, I clearly say an intolerance is when you don't have the enzyme, the actual chemical in your body to break down the food, such as gluten. And if you're an older individual, like dairy, a lot of us don't have the enzyme lactase, you know, to break out down the food. Right? Is that correct?
Well, right. With lactose, that is what I think would be more appropriate to stick to the word intolerance, because that's not an immune reaction. That's an enzyme deficiency, and you just simply can't break it down. And if you take an enzyme, you can solve that problem. It's just a simple exercise of either you take the enzyme or you drink lactose-free milk, and the problem's solved. But if you have an immune reaction to the food, you can't just take an enzyme and solve the problem. So with gluten, you can't do that. Or with, if you have a dairy allergy, you can't just take a lactate pill and solve your dairy allergy, because that's not the same as a lactose intolerance.
That's
so they're really two
point.
Very different things.
Great point. You know, my son, the reason why I got into allergies myself for many, many years is because my son had severe food allergies, and severe to the point where we had to carry an EpiPen. He was in the hospital many, many times. So I want to talk a little bit about how food allergies can be deadly. Can you share a little bit about that, please?
Well, of course, that's what, you know, you hear in the media and like your stories, and these are really, really significant and serious because they're immediately life-threatening. And that's obviously going to be the number one concern, is if somebody has a real strong sensitivity to, you know, sensitivity is a broad umbrella term, but they just have a really severe allergic reaction that is going to threaten their ability to breathe. And obviously that's got to be our number one concern. And that's what gets all the attention. And so in medicine, healthcare is kind of that way, where you get the attention if your life's on the line, that's going to be the big story and the big issues that are discussed. And it's all these other food reactions that are significant and are affecting people's lives and making them change the way they live their lives, but aren't going to kill them immediately. They just get underestimated and under talked about, and they don't get enough exposure. But like you say, there are people who, like your son, who have these really severe life-threatening allergies, and sometimes people do, fortunately, outgrow that component of it, and it'll lessen over time to where it's not life-threatening, which is, of course, ideal. That's what everybody would hope for.
Right, of course, of course. And you know, we just have a minute left, and I want to just share that you have the IBS Treatment Center. That's where you're from. That's what you founded. But it's also in Seattle and in Los Angeles, and that you deal with these food allergies, don't you, in your practice?
We do every day. That's really a huge specialty of ours, is understanding all these differences between the allergies and the intolerances and the sensitivities, and helping people sort these out and figure out what the real priorities are. Because by the time your gut's so inflamed and irritated that you're coming to see us, you probably feel like you're reactive to most foods you eat. And we need to sort out how to heal you up so you're can digest, you know, most foods that you eat, as opposed to feeling like you got to avoid everything.
Yes. Nowadays, there's so many information regarding how food allergies is linked to inflammation in your body, and that will just basically affect your brain and your energy level and your ability to function, and, of course, your digestion, which is what your center is also all about. The IBSTreatmentCenter.com, is that correct?
That is, yeah, our website's just full of information. Yep, I encourage people
to
visit it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Wenkin. This was awesome. IBSTreatmentCenter.com for more information about food allergies. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies for ultimate health and wellness right here on Radio MD. Until next time, stay well.